Welcome back to Superior Sunrise. We did a little switch. I'm Beth Bryan, and we thank you for joining us this morning. I'm sitting here live in Fort Worth with Danny Jones, president of Superior Livestock, who is no stranger to Superior Sunrise. And then joining us via phone, is Undersecretary of Agriculture for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Greg Ibaugh. Thank you both very much for being on this morning.
Sure, Beth.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Undersecretary Ibaugh, this is Danny Jones, and I would just like to thank you again for being here with us, taking time to do this today. As you know, the trade of fed cattle is unique, and in that there are so few buyers due to the consolidation in the packing industry. What special burden of oversight does that place or create for USDA in your role?
Well, you know, I think that I'm fortunate in that I have a little bit of background in the beef industry. As I think you know, I have an active cow-calf operation in central Nebraska that while I'm here spending time in Washington, D.C., and my role in marketing and regulatory programs, my son is managing the day-to-day operations of our operation, but you know, through those years and the experiences, also serving as director of ag in Nebraska, I have had the opportunity to wear a number of different hats, from experiencing the markets to now having oversight over how those markets react. And so, you know, what we do here at USDA is we have responsibility for making sure that the market reacts appropriately and that producers are treated fairly. And that is done through our Fair Trade Practices Division. And we look at not only livestock, but we also look at produce growers and producers as well to make sure they're being treated fairly. So we have lots of experience in this area at analyzing markets and trying to look for signals that might say things are out of balance. One of our other major responsibilities that helps us with this is market news reporting. And so not only are we looking at the market reaction on a day-to-day basis to be able to help producers evaluate what the market are doing, but it gives us the background to when we need to take a peek under the hood at some of the things that are going on, we have data available to us. And so the Packers and Stockyards Division is able to access all this data that we have accumulated in the event that we do enter into an investigation.
Well, you know, I think that was, you know, prior to our interview with you, Undersecretary, I got to do a lot of research, and I think that was one of the unique things that you brought to the table, is that you do have a lot of experience, you know, both from, you know, being a rancher yourself, but then also from the state, you know, and now federal government. And you know, like you and I were talking earlier before we came live on TV, you know, our viewers at home that are watching this show, 100% of them are affected by this. And so, you know, they're very thankful for this insight that you're giving them this morning. You know, we talk about the press release that was put out on August 28th, where Secretary of Agriculture Perdue has asked for an investigation. And, you know, one of the things that kind of led up to that was the fire that we had at the Tyson processing plant. And, you know, one of the things that have come out of that we've always known is that our industry is very vulnerable to rumors, lack of information, and this situation can create a potential for many of our producers to be taken advantage of. We've got some graphs that we're going to put up now, and looking at these charts, it seems that this might have occurred. As our producers have received less, the wholesalers, retailers, and consumers are paid more, and those packer margins are increasing dramatically. Is this something that the USDA is concerned with, and are they looking into to this?
Well, obviously, that is exactly, and that's why we have announced right away that we were going to do two things right after the fire. One of those is we were going to make sure that inspectors were available, whether they be the health inspectors or the graders that work in the plants that USDA supplies, to make sure that we could react to the reduction of capacity after the fire. You know, about 5% of the harvest capacity was affected when the fire broke out at the Holcomb plant, and the plant had to shut down. So if the industry needed to move cattle around and run different shifts, we committed ourselves to be able to staff those shifts so that USDA made sure that we could clear the cattle through the marketplace. We also announced that we would be monitoring the reaction within the marketplace on prices and the relationships of prices. And you're correct, during that time period, we started to observe this spread that began to occur where actually at the time we announced that we were moving into an investigation, it stood at the largest spread since data had been being collected between choice cattle and the live cattle prices. And so that was what told us that it would be appropriate for USDA to begin a next phase of our investigation, which gave us the ability to share prices between market news and the data we gather through the mandatory price reporting statutes with the Packers and Stockyards Division to be able to look further at the market.
Undersecretary, the separation in the box beef price and the fed cattle prices would seem to make sense according to supply and demand as the supplies of, or as the availability to slaughter cattle shackle space goes away, the demand for the product would get higher. So the box beef price going higher, the fed cattle price going lower would be natural reactions if the slaughter actually went down. But if we can look at that second graph, it also shows, and again, we understand not asking you to make a judgment call on what occurred during an investigation, but this graph shows that the slaughter actually went up, which kind of flies in the face of the separation and the other graphs there. So I know that's, as you said, part of why USDA is looking into this. And again, on behalf of the industry, I'd like to thank you for reaching out in that way for the entire agency.
So I think we did see a reaction in the marketplace that maybe was accentuated by the fact that we were coming up on the Labor Day weekend, where demand for beef by retailers is strong. There had also been rumors running throughout the latter part of this summer, or expectations that because of the numbers of cattle and feedlots and the pressure that they were anticipated to be put on the marketplace, that there would be a natural depression in price. And so we had seen retailers delaying some of their purchases in anticipation of that price decrease, even in the face of knowing that they were going to need product for Labor Day. So I think part of what happened was reaction in the marketplace, in that when that plant, the fire was announced and we knew that we were going to lose slaughter capacity, I think there was a reaction by retailers to say, oh dear, I need to get plenty of supply in place to be able to meet my customers' expectations for Labor Day weekend. At the same time, I think feedlots thought, oh dear, what am I going to do? I need to get these cattle cleared. And so at the same time that retailers were bidding up for box beef, feedlots were saying, I need to clear supplies, and maybe accepted lower bids. So we had this opposite reactions that helped drive that spread. I think what the key is how long is, you know, that reaction, how long should that be sustained? And is it natural that it should come together over time? And what is that timeline where we should see that pull together again? And so that's part of what our economists through the Packers and Stockyards Division will also be looking at, is, was the reaction appropriate? Was the length of time it's lasting appropriate? What else is going on in the marketplace? And do we see any evidence that there is any price manipulation going on?